Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, this is God's word. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, and as he teaches them, there's a series, kind of an outline that he gives, a series of things that we focus on in prayer. And first of all, it begins with a relationship with God our Father. If you don't know God in a personal way, if you've not been born again by God's Spirit, you will not be able to enter into the life of prayer. It's like the difference between talking to a stranger and talking to someone who you know loves you very well. And so Jesus begins by teaching his disciples to pray to our Father, not just my Father, but our Father. And then he focuses our prayer on what should be of the greatest concern to us, and that is God's glory. What matters most, my comfort or God's glory? In this prayer, Jesus points us to pray, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." That should be our greatest desire, more than our comfort, more than our safety, more than our getting this or that that might please us in the moment. Our greatest desire should be for the glory of God. And then he teaches us, give us today our daily bread. We need to live a life of daily dependence on God. Whatever our circumstances, whether we've got a lot of stuff or very little, we are dependent not on the stuff, but on God. So a life of daily dependence. Give us today our daily bread. And then Jesus talks about forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. In order to receive God's forgiveness, we must be willing to forgive others. And Jesus will come back after he's given us this outline of prayer. Jesus will come back and revisit that one part of the prayer for special emphasis. In verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." But this morning, I want us to focus in verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And here is the main point for today. Our victory over evil happens as we depend on God. Now let's look at that verse together. Verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Look in the book of James, chapter 1, Beginning in verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So temptation is a serious thing. But temptation doesn't come from God. God doesn't tempt anyone. So why would Jesus teach us to pray, lead us not into temptation? Well, first of all, that's a prayer you can pray with confidence because Jesus teaches us to pray it. But secondly, it is a recognition of the fact that God is the one who directs our steps. It is a recognition both of God's sovereignty, that is his rule over everything, and secondly, of our dependence on him and our vulnerability or our susceptibility or our weakness toward temptation. So if I think, oh, I'm impervious to temptation, let him who stands take heed lest he fall. If you think you're doing fine, you are in a great position to fall. Pride goes before a fall. When we talk about give us this day our daily bread, that doesn't mean you don't have any food in the pantry. It means you recognize that you are dependent on God for daily food. And when it comes to praying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, it doesn't mean, oh, on every side. No, you ought to know how to avoid temptation. Flee youthful lusts. Turn away from things that are tempting. But let me tell you something. If you think that you can't be tempted because you're just above all that, well, I would never do such a thing. I could never give in to that sort of thing. If that's your attitude, you are ripe for disaster. Pride goes before a fall. One of my favorite stories from my own life, because it happened years ago and I don't want to tell about the more recent ones, one of my favorite stories about my own life and the business of pride going before a fall happened when I was only about 13 years old. How many of you in this room right now are 13? Come on, higher. There we go. We've got some 13-year-olds, I knew that. And I had gotten my first real suit. I mean a real suit where the jacket and the pants match. They're made to go together of the same fabric. Prior to that, I had only had sport coats and slacks. Now, what's the difference? Well, you can wear tan slacks with a navy sport coat, and that's a perfectly legitimate look, but it's not a suit. Okay? A suit means that the jacket and the pants are made to go together, specifically, and they're of the same fabric. So it's like the difference between a skirt and a blouse on a lady and a suit on a lady or a dress on a lady, okay? I had my first suit and I was so proud of it. I'd gotten it on sale in Asheville, North Carolina at a store called Bon Marché. And it was pinstripe. And I had gotten a black shirt and a white polyester tie that I thought looked like silk. And in my opinion, I was the most handsome 13-year-old out there. I mean, I'd gotten it at age 12, but I was now getting to wear it at age 13. I was so excited to have that, and I thought people must look at me so admiringly. Now, in retrospect, I probably looked like someone who wanted to appear like a gangster, okay? But I didn't know that at the time. I thought I was styling. And so I was in a meeting in Anderson Auditorium at Montreat, North Carolina, beautiful big auditorium, kind of circular in its shape, made of stone. And as I walked out the back door, there was a young boy, maybe, 10, 11, 12, some younger person on the chain. And at age 13, I, of course, was very mature and sophisticated. And I looked at him and I imagined that he was admiring how good I looked in that suit. And I smiled and nodded and walked. I was walking quite fast. As I looked at him, smiled, nodded, and then turned this way, I walked straight into a stone column. I mean, face first, fast. I mean, it was sort of like, boom! I was stunned. I turned to look back at him to reassure him that everything was okay, and I couldn't see him. I mean, the world was a blur. I was nearly knocked unconscious by the force of my own stride, leading with my head. What an idiot. And I grabbed the column and sort of made my way around and staggered down the sidewalk a little bit and then stopped and leaned up against the wall and just had to laugh at myself. Pride goes before a fall. Later in college, I was feeling so spiffy wearing the ski clothes that my older brother had given to me when he got something more fashionable. I was wearing his ski clothes, and let me tell you, they were good quality ski clothes. Once again, dressed in all black, no pinstripes this time. We didn't do that on the slopes. But, I had a black parka and these black ski pants that were made for skiing, mind you. And I thought I looked so good, and I went with the mother of one of my friends to get on the ski lift, and she delayed getting on. It was spring skiing and there was a lot of mud. She delayed getting on so that when I tried to get on, I missed it, and the seat of the ski thing hit me and knocked me sprawling face first in this huge mud. And I thought, surely they'll stop the ski lift and let me up and everyone will run to see if I'm okay. And no, instead, they just got on behind me and went right over me with their skis. And I had to crawl out on my belly through the mud. And when I emerged, coated with mud, the people who were standing in line were having a wonderful time laughing and pointing. They thought this was hilarious. It was probably the seed that caused someone to say, you know, we ought to start a television show of videos of things like this. But, it was horrible. But you know what? Pride goes before a fall. The time you are most vulnerable to temptation is when you think you are not vulnerable to temptation. You understand? If you think, oh, it never happened to me, you're a good target for the devil. And so Jesus teaches us to pray with an attitude that shows that we take temptation seriously and we don't want to go there. Now, it is not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. It is not a sin to be tempted. And all of us are tempted in various ways from time to time. But we must learn to take temptation seriously and immediately do as Jesus did and say no to it. Respond to it with the Word of God. Let God's Word dwell in you richly. And as you are filled with His Word and filled with His Spirit, you will be in a position to say no to temptation. One of the reasons we have you memorize the scriptures here at St. Andrew's School is so that you will have a weapon, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to use against the enemy. God wants you to be able to answer the tempter with the truth. Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and you need to stand against him armed with the truth. So that's why we study His Word, memorize His Word, we meditate on His Word, and we seek to obey His Word, putting it into practice.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus teaches us to pray in such a way that we recognize our dependence on God. Lead us not into temptation. We don't want to go there. I think some people's paraphrase of this would be, lead us not into temptation, I can find it myself. But that's not a good attitude. Okay? The idea is, I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to be tempted. Let me tell you, I would not do well working in a donut shop. I just wouldn't. I know myself well enough to know that I would feel that I was resisting temptation if I only ate a dozen or so at every meal. I mean, it's just hard. So what do? Well, just don't go there. Don't go to the pastry shop.
Pastor, our ministry is having a pastry shop for the glory of God.
Wonderful. I'm not saying donuts are evil. I'm saying donuts are more than I can handle. Okay? That's just too tempting for me because I think they're delicious. And the problem is I don't want to eat one. I want to eat one at a time. Okay? So, you need to seek to avoid temptation. Lead us not into temptation. God is the one who directs our steps. He is sovereignly working all things according to His plan. And so we come to Him and we say, Lord, I don't want to go there. I don't want to sin. I don't want to be tempted. Please don't lead me into temptation. God's not going to tempt anyone. But sometimes the path that He takes us on, I'll give you an example. Joseph from the Old Testament. God took him on a path that had him in a place of temptation every day. And day after day after day, Joseph did the right thing and said no to temptation. And as a consequence of other people's evil, in that situation where Joseph refused to give in to temptation, Joseph ended up in prison. But God used all of that for good. So pray. Demonstrate that you are depending on God and that you do not want to fall into temptation. But then second part of this is, but deliver us from the evil one. Who is the evil one? Well, he's the devil. That's another term for him. Okay? And when we talk about the evil one, we're not talking about a myth. We're not talking about make-believe. We're talking about a reality. The devil is real. And you need to know that. There really is a devil. We're not going to spend a long time talking about him this morning, but I want you to understand something. The devil is real, he's smart, he's strong, and he knows that his time is short. And so he is hard at work. The Bible says that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is a very ferocious enemy. Living here in the mountains, we have occasional encounters with bears. Don't try to wrestle one. Okay? If you encounter a bear, hopefully you know what to do. If you're new here, you are a level one. And as a level one, you'll be with an adult. And the adults hopefully know what to do. There are instructions. If you're an adult and you're new and you're saying, I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? Talk to one of the adults who's been here a while. There's a series of things that you're supposed to know to do if you encounter a bear. Main thing is, don't say, oh, hi, come here. Don't do that. You don't want to mess with the bear, okay? Bears are strong. Let me tell you something. The devil is strong. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm not afraid I'm going to encounter bears. The bears need to be afraid that they're going to encounter me. Got it? We also have poisonous snakes here. Not all the snakes here are poisonous, but we have poisonous snakes here. The snakes are in trouble if they encounter me. Because this isn't their property, this is God's property, and God put me as CEO of this place. And that means any snake that is here without my permission had better hope I don't find it. I don't go looking for snakes. I'm not out on, well, you know, it's Thursday, gotta go snake hunting. No, we don't go hunting for snakes, but if the snakes come out to where we are and show themselves, I kill them. The poisonous ones, not the non-poisonous ones. The non-poisonous ones are wonderful. And you know, the non-poisonous ones kill the poisonous ones, along with killing mice and rats and things like that, and probably lizards and toads. But I want you to understand something. The devil is real, he's strong, he's scary, but Jesus doesn't just have more power than Satan. Jesus has all power and all authority, and therefore we do not have to be afraid. Because if you are born again, God is your heavenly Father, Jesus Christ is living his life through you. And when you encounter the devil, he's the one who needs to run. Is that clear? So, deliver us from the evil one. That's a recognition of the fact that we are in a state of spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are living in this world where there is spiritual warfare. The enemy is real. The enemy is powerful. And therefore, we need to put on the full armor of God, which is all found in Jesus Christ. And so as we put on Christ, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, taking up the sword of the Spirit. Folks, as we arm ourselves with that which God has provided for us in Christ Jesus, we can experience victory. Because our victory is in Christ Jesus. So, when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he teaches us to know God as our Father, to desire his glory more than anything else, to depend upon him every day, to share with others the forgiveness that we have received, and to experience victory in Christ Jesus over temptation and over the powers of the evil one. That is the way to pray.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.